Like most people, I grew up watching zombie movies. Resident Evil was my first introduction, and while it really creeped me out, I was quite fascinated with the format of a movie meant to scare you. Since then, I've been captivated by psychological horror movies where they try to worm their way into your head rather than just relying on jump scares. Now, part of this is because every time there's a jump scare, I end up jumping. I will admit to that. But also because as someone who has read my fair share of Agatha Christie and other detective novels, I'm pretty solid at guessing who the bad guy is or what the ending of the movie is going to be. But a lot of psychological horror pushes past those boundaries. They try to fool you and can be successful depending on the circumstances. And because it is Halloween today, I thought it would be most fitting to dive deep into why horror movies can stand out so much as a genre by getting into the classic horror movie rules. Hello, and welcome to Jackie On, a podcast where I, Jackie, talk about my opinions on a bunch of different topics. This episode is Jackie On Horror Movie Rules, and my opinions on them. I do want to be clear, as always, this is all opinion, but my sources are also mostly opinion, so if you disagree with something, that's fine, but just keep in mind that there's nothing really professional about any of the information that I've received. The first part that I'm going to get into is the Scream horror movie rules, as this franchise has been pretty prolific for establishing the horror genre and also some of the rules that go along with the characters within the genre. But I am specifically taking out the franchise and sequel rules because I don't think they're as pertinent as just like rules that can fit any horror movie. So let's go over them now. The first one is you won't survive if you have sex. I feel like this is one of those rules that's become pretty universal, whether we realize it or not. Like, I can be sitting down with anyone and watch a horror movie, and if, like, someone engages in those kinds of illicit practices, their first thought is to be like, okay, well, now they're gonna die. Now they're being murdered. And I think, I don't know exactly where this rule started, but I think that time and time again, we've seen it in some of the classic horror movies where if you do something illicit, you're gonna get kicked. Which brings me to the second rule. You won't survive if you drink or do drugs. For me, this also goes along with the idea that if you're a jerk or a really bad person, you're probably going to die. Now, just because you drink or do drugs does not mean that you're a jerk and a horrible person, but because these movies have to meet some kind of audience satisfaction, there are typically not super popular ratings among characters who are heavy drinkers and do drugs, and a lot of the time they're represented as bad people, and so as a result, there's a likelihood that you will die, and pretty early on. Like, you don't really get any character arcs, you don't get that much development, you're pretty much gone. Three is you won't survive if you say, I'll be right back, hello, or who's there. If I had to pick a favorite horror movie rule, it would be this one. It's not even because of the cliche, but because of the way that innocent curiosity can so quickly turn into something bloody. That simply if you know and utter those words, that there's some kind of omen shared among horror movie fans that you're gonna get killed off, I think is a beautiful thing. And also quite sad. So if you ever find yourself in a scary situation, do not say those things because you will be getting it next. Now, I want to go into some of the rules that were established by Scream 2 because those were all established by the first Scream. So the next one is never assume the killer is dead. I really think this one is hit or miss depending on the circumstances. Like for The Ring and Child's Play, it is true because these characters keep on coming back because there's some kind of supernatural aspect to them. Also, there's the nature of having sequels to a story. If a horror movie is sequel after sequel, well, they're not going to kill off the bad guy, or they're going to create some way to bring them back, or a rendition of them back, or in Child's Play, even a wife or a child back, just so that they have something else to make a movie about. But I do think there are situations and movies that have more human killers that do see justice and that are killed in the end, that are more final. I think some of these can be a little bit more like the ones that are simply focused on gore and blood as opposed to the ones that have the more psychological tilt to it. Moving on to Scream 3, the first rule is the killer is going to be superhuman. I think this relates to the previous point that was made on always dying. And again, this one is a bit of a yes and no situation. I think it matters more if a film industry thinks they can market another movie rather than there is an original intention to make the killer superhuman. unless we're talking about like The Conjuring or something where like superhuman aspects are at the forefront of that movie, I think that a lot of it comes down to franchising. Just look at Saw, right? There are so many Saw movies, and this man has cancer, the bad guy. And so how does he keep living and evading it as an old man, evading justice? I think it really comes down to, hey, can we make another movie, as opposed to, oh yeah, our killer is going to be superhuman. But, you know, they relate to each other because of the movie magic. There's going to be some superhuman elements. Next is that anyone, including the main character, can die. I think this is very true. Just look at Psycho, one of the classic horror movies, and that was considered to be like an ultimate plot twist after it came out, is that the main character died in the end. However, the issue I have with this is that it's super dependent on who you consider to be the main character. In Psycho, maybe you thought Norman Bates was the main character because it was so centered around him in such an odd way. And in that case, no, he didn't die. But at the same time, like this, there's the idea of who the movie wants to push on you, who the main character is, versus who the main character really is based on interpretation. And I think this can get a little seedy, but for the most part, I do agree with this rule. Main character can definitely die. Next is that the past will come back to bite you in the butt. Always, not a doubt. I feel like the killer is consistently someone who has some kind of vendetta or history with the victims. And this is what creates an interesting storyline. This is what gets you motivated, is to find out why a killer is killing. I think as people, the same reason we all love true crime is because we want to get into their heads and learn about why someone's doing this or why someone's doing that. Now, I'm not saying it's good or bad, but it definitely is something that I think interests people and interests audiences. And so there's definitely an angle of the past that always comes forth. Okay, now I'm going to get into Scream 2022. The first rule for this one is never trust your love interest. I think this fits well with don't trust anyone, but I do always find the love interest to be a bit suspicious, so I agree with this rule pretty heavily. I don't think you should be trusting anyone who wants to get into your pants that bad during a horror movie catastrophe. Just saying. Next is that the killer always has something to do with the past. Again, this one was kind of reiterated a little bit. Again, I think it's very true. Killers always show up in some way in our reference to some end before being revealed. This is pretty common of movies in general. And next, the first victim always has a circle of friends the killer is part of. I disagree with this one. To say always is a bit of a stretch and makes it seem like we're talking about a teenage drama instead of a horror movie. I do agree that the chances of being acquainted are very likely, but not necessarily that the killer and a victim were in the same exact friend group. I think that's a little bit of a stretch. Okay. So those were all the Scream movie rules and my opinions on them, or the pertinent ones. Now I'm going to go into the second part of this, which are rules from various sources I found that I think should be added to the list of general horror movie rules. And I will explain why for each one. First is wandering into a large, empty, seemingly haunted house is a sure sign of death. I think it's an excellent rule of thumb to avoid creepy places unless you're asking for an incident to happen. A lot of the time, these horror movies occur where the creepiest things have happened, in the creepiest locations, and it's generally a good idea to stay away, especially if you're like on a getaway with some friends. That is a sign for trouble. Second, toys and robots, especially ones that can talk, will turn on you. Continually, children face traumatizing experiences because of robots or toys. See Child's Play, Megan, Saw, to a certain extent, I mean, not as huge, and Annabelle, that could have just been avoided by staying away in the first place. If you have a talking doll or robot, stay away. They're creepy. They're gonna come hunt after you in the night, and they're gonna traumatize you. Don't do it. Stay away. Third is don't trust anyone. I think this can be expanded beyond the love interest. Not even the dead body you see in the corner should you trust is really dead. That is a Saw reference. You should never trust anything or anyone is truly dead. And this is also comes to play in the movie Clue, where the bad guy is not actually dead and someone lied about it. You don't want to trust anyone who you think is not 100% on your side. And even those who are, you might not want to trust them either. Fourth is to stay away from children. There's the classic Hollywood trope of not being able to kill off any children, but the same cannot be said for the people who accompany and protect said children. It is always the caretaker who dies while the child lives. Now, this does not mean be cruel or, you know, cast children aside, but if a child is going through something creepy, don't stick with them through the whole thing. Get out while you can. Maybe bring the child. Maybe don't get close in the first place. But this leads to the fifth one, which is listen to children when they tell you something. So, if a child tells you there's a strange man in the closet, there probably is. I feel like a lot of horror movie plots could be avoided if people just listened to what children had to say. Like Child's Play, for example. I keep mentioning that movie because I kind of saw it recently. But I really think that staying away from children, but also listening to them if they have some kind of crazy issue going on, is important. Because children sometimes lie, but in the horror movie context, you never want to be careful. You want to always be careful. Sixth, the killer is going to be a character that was introduced in the story or backstory, no matter how quaint. I do think this relates to some of the things we already talked about with the killer being in the past, but I think it is unfair for a movie to introduce a killer and reveal them to be a character you haven't seen once in the entire movie. That is why almost always the hint for the killer will be somewhere. And I think this is just a rule that is pretty much always adhered to, because otherwise you have very unhappy fans who can't really partake in the guessing game of the movie. 7. The danger is never over. Whenever a character is running and turns around just to check and see if they're still being chased, or starts to feel safe because they're in a new location, it's a cop-out. You are never safe in a horror movie until it's over, and even then, you're still not safe. 8. Don't read spooky texts out loud. And I don't mean texts from your phone, I mean like books. This gets to a lot of supernatural horror movies. If there's some kind of ritual text, it might not be a good idea to read it out loud and cause whatever disaster is waiting for you around the corner. This goes along with don't bring anything back to life. Nothing should be revived. It will come after you and try to murder you. 9. Don't do stupid, ill-advised things, like be a good person. For the most part, it's the bad people or good people who did a bad thing they're trying to cover up who get the axe. So just try to avoid that, and you should be all good. Hopefully. 10. The killer's intentions will be revealed. It's part of movie magic. Hang in there long enough, and you'll learn all their secrets and the reason for what they're doing. So if that can give you some negotiation power, go at it. But preferably, you are not hanging around when a killer's intentions are revealed. You are long gone. Because that's another rule I forgot to add. If you can leave, get out. Don't stay. And that is not a reference to the movie Get Out, but I do think it is quite pertinent if we consider what happened in that movie. The key thing I want to highlight is, as horror movies continue to become cliches of themselves, they will try to innovate, challenge the rules, and create new rules. This is why oftentimes sequels are more intense and bloody than the first of the series, because there's some kind of need for these movies to prove themselves. So these rules are not actually super concrete, and I'm sure any of us could find a dozen counterexamples if we tried hard enough. But there are a few that get continually used over time that they are considered to be bedrocks of the horror genre. It is why horror is so distinct from things like thriller or mystery, because there's an aspect to it that you really cannot escape from. Thank you for tuning into this episode of Jackie On. I hope you were able to learn a little bit more about the horror movie genre, and I will see you in the next episode.